Let's just everybody bow our heads together for a word of prayer tonight. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here under the tent. Glad for this gathering again tonight and for the wonderful privilege that we've received in the Son of God, that we can fellowship together in the Spirit, and that we can come together for this great, wonderful union of the Spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, may our sins all be forgiven. May our trespasses be taken away. And may every person tonight rejoice in the fact that they have the liberty of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Lord, bless these people tonight. May there not be a one, Heavenly Father, that leaves this tent cathedral, Father, without being blessed, and Father, without being filled with the great Holy Spirit. May they have an experience with God such as they've never had in all of their lives. I ask it in the name of your lovely Son, Jesus, and for his name's sake, amen. You can be seated if you like. I want to say again tonight that it's a happy privilege of mine to be here under the tent and to have a chance to fellowship with you. Tonight, tomorrow night, these are the last nights of the meeting. We'll be taking down tomorrow night unless the Lord speaks to us differently. You know, it's a strange thing, but it seems like that in tent meetings, you just get started and everybody just gets revival-minded, and then about that time you have to close out. When we closed out in Macon, Georgia, the tent was filled up. The ministers were all over the platform and the Spirit of God was moving and things was just ready for a tremendous move of God. But we had to move on to do the thing that God has called us to do. That is what revival is for, is to get just enough people stirred and revived that they'll scatter a little revival fire in the area and cause people to want to think about Jesus and cause people to want to live a better life for the Son of God. So then, we're glad to be here tonight. Glad to see you. We appreciate you coming out to be with us. Trust that tomorrow night, the last night of the meeting, that you'll be back with us. And trust that we'll have a great meeting tonight and tomorrow night. Appreciate our minister brethren that have been coming out, and also these minister brethren of ours that come up to the platform to sit here with us and to strengthen us in the wonderful things of Jesus. All right, I want to read just a little bit to you from over in the book of Mark, in the 48th verse of the 14th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staffs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. In the 62nd verse, and Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. In the book of Romans, in the 1st chapter, in the 14th verse, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, right here is some real strong preaching. Paul is preaching to the Roman people, and he says here, because that mankind does not like to retain God in their knowledge, therefore God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do that which is not convenient. Because they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. I want you to think on that tonight, will you? The Bible says because they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know, that's real strong, isn't it? They do not like to retain God in their knowledge. They do not like to retain Him in their knowledge. Therefore, God gives them up to a reprobate mind. Now, you know, most people, when you talk about a reprobate mind, the first thing that they think of is that men take on some hideous understanding and they become some freak-minded person that is so lewd and so abased in their thinking that they don't even fit in human society anymore. And I admit that it really does lead to that, in that the Bible speaks of certain people that have never yet known the depth of Satan. You know, a lot of people have been in sin, but so far as knowing the depths of Satan, they have never yet reached the depths of Satan. They have never yet taken on that understanding or practice that has caused them to go down into the deep, deep depths of what Satan really can produce when it comes to the evil of this life and when it comes to sufferings. To them that have not known the depths of Satan, Jesus said to John in the book of Revelation, to them that have never known the depths of Satan. Perhaps you've never known the depths of Satan, and I trust that you have not. To reach the depths of Satan is a horrible thing. But I want you to know that you don't have to reach the depths of Satan to have been turned over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and be damned. You don't have to go down to the deep depths of Satan. The Bible said because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, because they had no place in their mind for God or God knowledge, because they did not want to think about righteousness, because they did not want to think about heaven, and they did not want to think about godliness and loyalty, they did not want to entertain the thoughts that they must withdraw from the activities of this world, because they did not want to have the knowledge of the Bible or the knowledge of the will of God in their minds. Therefore, God turned them over to their own desire, to their own way of thinking, to their own ambitions. God turned them over to a reprobate mind and let them believe a lie that they might be damned. The Bible said, for God will send you strong delusions. God will send you strong delusions, not the devil. The Bible said, for God will send you strong delusions, and he will cause you to believe a lie, and he will cause you to be damned because you don't love the truth. When you hear the preacher tell you the truth, and when the preacher tells you something that you ought not to do, and the preacher tells you how to withdraw from the flesh and the things that displease God, because you don't like that, because you don't want that, because you'll get up out from under the tent and walk out and leave the preacher preaching, because you'll turn your back on the church of the living God, because you'll curse and backbite and do all of those things, God turns you over to a reprobate mind to let you believe a lie and be damned. What is a reprobate mind? One of the things is when you believe you're going to heaven when you're going to hell, you're believing a lie. Did you know hundreds of thousands of people in the world today, they are positively convinced that they are going to heaven and that they are on their way to heaven? And did you know that they're on their way to hell? You say, but Brother Pike, if you believe with all of your heart you're going to heaven, that's faith and you'll go to heaven. Believing with all of your heart that you haven't got cancer, when you have got cancer, you'll still die of cancer. That has nothing to do with it at all. You can believe with all of your heart that you haven't got cancer and you can still have cancer and you can still die. You can believe with all of your heart that you're going to heaven when you're going to hell. But brother, you cannot believe with all of your heart in the Word of God and obey the Word of God and then die with cancer if you believe that you're healed by His stripes. You cannot believe that you're going to heaven when you're serving God and doing your very best and believing with all of your heart. You cannot believe with all of your heart you're going to heaven and then die and go to hell. But you can believe a lie and be damned. You can believe that you're righteous when you're self-righteous, like the Jews. They believed that they were God's people when God rejected them and turned them out and let them all die in the wilderness. He turned to the Gentiles, and the Bible said the Gentiles was not even seeking after God. But he turned to the Gentiles and saved the Gentiles and got himself a bride. So then, what is the reprobate mind? Believing that which is not the Word of God. Believing that which is not truth. Believing that which God hath not spoken. Believing that you've heard. Believing your imagination. Did you know there's doctrines of devils? The Bible speaks of doctrines of devils. And did you know that Satan, Lucifer, is the prince of the powers of the air? And did you know that he had power over the atomic particles of the air, which gives him the power over the atomic particles of which your body is composed? And did you know that Satan can speak to you through the powers of the air, and that Satan can start a storm, he can cause an earthquake, he can cause all kind of epidemics and problems, heartaches and pressures and woes and sorrows and afflictions, because he is the prince of this world? Did you know that if you reject the knowledge of God and the truth of God, You have but one thing left, and that's your own understanding. And did you know that you are born with that understanding when you come into this world? And did you know the Bible teaches you not to lean to your own understanding? Why? Because your own understanding is a reprobate mind. Don't lean to your own understanding, the Bible said. You're born with a human understanding that Satan has control of, because it relates to this world and it is relative to the things of this world. That is why people get into trouble. That is why preachers get into trouble. They feel like that they know. They feel like they understand. Brothers and sisters, did you know that the more you go to college and the more you go to school and the more you learn about this world, the bigger reprobate you are? Did you know that? Did you know that the more education you get, the more contrary to God you are? You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that God condones morons and God condones ignorance? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the tree of knowledge makes you more contrary to the Word of God. You must have God in your heart. You must have the Word of God in your heart. A lot of people would say, but Brother Pike, what would we do without our great industries? What would we do without our great ability of leaderships in this world? What would we do without our great professional men of doctors and of lawyers and of teachers? And what would we do without our colleges and all of these things? The same thing the children of Israel did. The children of Israel didn't have any colleges and they didn't have any industries and they didn't have any professional men. The Bible said there was not one sick among them. Their feet did not swell. They all was of a good understanding. They didn't have to go to college to get it. Are you listening? The Bible said he that is born of God is of a good understanding. They said, Jesus, how do you know all these things never having learned? The more that we learn about this world and the natural, unless God is at the root of our learning, or unless our research is in God, then the more reprobate we become to God. Lean not to thine own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all of your heart, the Bible says. Look unto God. Believe God's word. Did you know that scientists is just exactly contrary to God's word? Scientists proves that the natural is here to stay. God speaks just the opposite. God said it's a lying vanity and it'll all vanish away. Scientists would say, Jonah in the belly of the whale. Faith in God said there is no whale. I'm free by faith in God. Medical science says you are afflicted in your body. We can scientifically prove it. But the Bible said by his stripes you were healed. We either have to give our believing to either the scientific side of life, which is the intellectual powers of Lucifer, or we have to give it to Christ and call everything that's contrary to God's word a lying vanity till it fades away. That's why that the children of this world have inherited this world. It is the land of Esau. It is their inheritance. Everything in this world belongs to them. They're enlarging upon it. They're enlarging upon human intelligence. They're enlarging upon money, land, houses, all of the things of this world. But the Bible said the world and the lust thereof passeth away. Everyone that's relative to the world, everyone that's relative to the lust and desire of this world, everyone will pass away with the world. But the Bible said, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The man that's able to believe in the face of lying vanities and call everything a lying vanity when God's word says different, that man will take on a supernatural body. That man will take on a supernatural life. That man will take on a supernatural perseverance, and that man will become such a great one until he will pass from the stages of humanity to the stages of God. He will no longer be a human being, but he will become a God. His believing can make him a God. Did you know that Lucifer today rules by believing? Did you know the reason that Lucifer has such great power today? It is because he believes.
The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devil believes too. I said even the devil believes there's one God. Why that you believe there's numbers of gods? For if you believe there's one God, you do well. For the devil believes that too. And he trembles every time he thinks about it. So then Lucifer rules by believing. But the only thing is, Lucifer does not have the right to believe. Do you know that the land of Esau today is standing because they believe? Did you know that Esau today rules in the world because he believes? It is believing that causes a man to get up from off of the bed in the morning. It is believing that causes the man to put his shoes on his feet. It is believing that causes the man to wash his face. It is believing that makes a man go out to the job thinking that he's going to get paid at the end of the week. But with this great believing, Lucifer continues on and the world continues on. But did you know that the world doesn't have any right to believing? Only in the sense of the grace dispensation. God has allowed this for multiplying and replenishing the earth. And God has allowed this little dispensation of grace so that he can have mercy on the righteous. For the Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. A lot of people make this mistake. They say, Brother Pike, God loves everybody. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. God does not love the wicked. Where do you get that? Somebody would say, but I know that God loves everybody. And that God shed his blood for everybody. God did not shed his blood for everybody. Jesus Christ did not shed his blood for everybody. The Bible doesn't say that he shed his blood for everybody. It said he shed his blood for many. And the Bible doesn't say that God loves everybody. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. And the Bible said he will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. And the Bible said the offering of the wicked is abomination in his sight. And he said there is no peace to the wicked. And he said the wicked is like the troubled waters that's ever casting their mire upon the bank. He said, I will pursue the wicked. Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. God has no love for the wicked. He has no respect for the wicked. But he did make an allowance. The Bible said God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He would that they would repent of their sins and get right with God. But beloved friend, God loves you. You are the apple of his eye. You are bone of his bone. And you are flesh of his flesh. You are the sons and daughters of Almighty God. And God loves you. And even though God has given a day of grace, that even the wicked can be blessed during this time, even though God has done that, yet he is angry with the wicked every day. Why then did God give this day of grace? So that the righteous could get straightened out with God in the sense of the indoctrination of God's will and desire. So that we can conform to the ways of God, that we be not destroyed with the wicked, in that the Bible said, choose not the way of the heathens. God does not want us to conform to the ways of the wicked. Therefore, we have a day of grace to where we can get the indoctrination of our Heavenly Father's will. And when this will is completed within our heart, and when God has thoroughly furnished us with his doctrine and his way, God will literally destroy the wicked. The Bible said the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and the brimstone came down. The very day that the church goes out of this world, you'll find out that God cares nothing for the wicked. The very day that the church goes out of this world, every wicked, wretched person in the world, God will destroy them. He will set his wrath against them, and he will not be satisfied until the last one of them perishes from over the face of the earth. The wicked have been deceived. There is ministers in the world today that they are so gullible, as I said the other night, that they are trying to get the people's finance. They're trying to get the world's money. They're doing it through every practice there is, from preaching under a tent like this is tonight, to PTL Club and 700 Club, and to every other TV club and every other practice that you can find. And they're gullible, taking millions of dollars and doing nothing for the poor and the hungry. They're building great empires across the world that God doesn't care anything about. When I say that, I'm not ignorant. I know that you have to have a tent sometimes. I know that you have to have an open service sometimes just out in the air in the fields. I know that you've got to have a building to live in. Sometimes you've got to have a printing press, and you've got to have a truck, and you've got to have an automobile. You've got to have some money to do some mailing. You've got to have some money to reach the people by the medias, the news medias, or whatever. I realize that. But we don't have to be gullible, greedy dogs that never get enough. We don't have to rob and steal and cheat and take all of that which the public has. We can give to the poor. We can give to the hungry. We can work together. And I say this, that God has allowed many of those things to take away from some of you greedy people. There are some people so greedy that they won't give to the truth. And God has raised up these things to take their money away from them and to take their properties away from them because they're gullible and they're greedy. And they never get enough as greedy dogs. And they keep it all for themselves. They let people go hungry. But beloved friend, did you know? The Bible says pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. That you visit those widows and those orphans and their afflictions. That is, you minister unto their needs. And the Bible says that you at the same time must keep yourself unspotted from the world. You must keep yourself unspotted from the world. You cannot participate in the things of this world. For the world and the desire thereof shall pass away. For it's into Christ. It is Lucifer's kingdom. God said, my kingdom is not of this world. How can you partake of this world and call yourselves the sons of God when Jesus profoundly stated that my kingdom is not of this world? Come out from among them and be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Friend, did you know it's time that we as Christians rose up and put difference between darkness and light? Stop trying to mix darkness with light. You say, Brother Pike, what then is darkness? God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. Intellectual reasoning is darkness. That darkness comes from the tree in the garden. It comes from the fall. Intellectual reasoning is darkness. But the word of God is light. It giveth light. It is an entrance. The word of God is light. Turn my people from the mind of Lucifer and the mind of the world to the mind of Christ and the mind of the kingdom of God. Cause them to be spiritually minded, to think about heavenly things. Let your conversation be in heaven, not in the world. Why should you sit around and talk about houses and land and money and education and sports and frolics and everything else in this world when Jesus forbids you to do that? When God tells you to cast down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ? David prayed even to the intent of the heart. How is it that we are disobedient children? That is why there is sickness in the church today. The Bible said if you'll visit the widows and you'll visit the orphans and you'll take the naked into your house and you'll clothe them and you'll feed the hungry. It said thy light shall go before thee and thy health shall return unto thee speedily. And the Lord shall be thy reward and he shall say Jesus and he shall say here am I. But as long as we're greedy and gullible and will not share with the needy, as long as I won't take my substance and you won't take your substance and feed the hungry and feed the needy and look after them that's got need of food, that's how long that we're going to be afflicted. That's how long we're going to be sick. You say, but Brother Pike, you don't understand. I'm sick and I give. You give a dime, you give a dollar, you give $10 when you ought to give $1,000. I said this the other night. People will put $10 in the offering to send to the gospel or to the foreign fields or to help the poor and the needy. And they'll go down the road and find some junk heap and say $3,500 is a good deal. $5,000 for a piece of junk is a good deal. And they'll invest $5,000 in a car and $25,000 in a home, and that's very conservative in what I'm saying tonight. And they'll tie themselves up from $30,000 to $50,000 to $100,000. And they'll give $10 to God and they'll say, "I believe in heaven." How in the world could you do that? You evaluate wrong, my brother. You place the greatest emphasis on the less value. Did you know that the early church sold their homes and sold what they had and laid it down at the apostles' feet, and they put their heart in heaven and they put their efforts in heaven and they put their substance in heaven and they laid up treasures in heaven and they gave to heaven because they were heavenly minded? But when a man's earthly minded, he's going to love the things of this world. And wherever your treasures are, that's where your heart is going to be. It doesn't make any difference how religious you act. You don't have any real joy in being religious. You've got more joy in going to a ball game or watching some kind of movie on TV, or you got more joy in talking about your new automobile or your new home, or talking about sports, or talking about frolics, or talking about picnicking or some kind of vacation. You got more joy in that than anything else you're doing. You've got more joy in talking about your business and your way of life and your plans in life than any other thing. You don't have any joy in talking about heaven. Your conversation is not in heaven. Your treasures are not in heaven. Your desire is not in heaven. Your joy is not in the Spirit. Folks, it's time we begin to put a difference between darkness and light. That's why ministers are falling everywhere. Since I was here in this area not so very far back, I can name minister after minister that was one time a devout man of God. I went to each one of them personally and talked to them about God the way I'm talking to you tonight. And I told them they couldn't mix darkness with light, but they were so lifted up in their own way of life and they felt like they had the answer, and Brother Pike didn't know what he was talking about, and that God would allow for their wrongs and their frolics. And tonight I can count one after another that's fell from his lofty state, and he's all mixed up in his life tonight, and he's wrecked his ministry and left his companion or turned into darkness and walked off from the light because they would not put a difference between darkness and light. But tonight, let me tell you, God said, "Because ye have not a love for my word that's truth." Pilate said, "Jesus, you tell me what is truth." He said, "My words are truth." And he said, "Because you have not a love for the truth, I will turn you over to your own thinking and your own reasoning, which is a reprobate mind, and I'll let you believe a lie and have strong delusions, and I'll let you be damned." What was some of those things? Listen at it. Being filled with all unrighteousness, doing the things which are not convenient, fornication. Are you committing fornication? Many of those ministers that I talked to committed fornication. Filled with all unrighteousness, committing fornication, committing wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. They're full of envy of the things of this world and the people of this world. The Bible said they became murderers. They became men just to want to dispute with each other and debate with each other. No real purpose in life. No real perseverance for God. No real desire to evangelize the world. But just men of corrupt minds that want to dispute with each other and always debating over the word of God and the things of this life, politics and whatever. Said they were filled with deceit. They became deceitful. You couldn't trust them A man can't trust his wife anymore. The wife can't trust her husband anymore. The husband goes to work. He buys the wife a car so that she can ride around and do her evil doings while she takes up time with another person while he's out there making her a living. And it said they were filled with debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, people that want to backbite. The Bible said, and the backbiter shall not stand in the holy hill of God. They'll sit here under this tent, or they'll sit in the church on Sunday morning, and before night, when they leave on a Sunday morning, they're already chewing somebody up. They're already chewing the preacher up. They're already finding fault with their neighbor. They're finding fault with their brother, with their sister, with their neighbor, with their employer. They're finding fault with somebody that's down at the neighborhood. They're finding fault and they're criticizing and they're backbiting and they're whispering behind one another's back. And the Bible said that they become haters of God. Haters of God. They become haters of God. It grieves them for Brother Pike or some minister to stand up and witness the gospel of the Son of God. They hate the idea of this tent being out here, and they would burn it to the ground if at all possible to do it and get by with the law. Haters of God. They hate the man of God down on the corner. And the Bible said the day shall come that they shall be so bad, men waxing worse and worse, that ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. It says here that they become inventors of evil things. They become inventors of evil things. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I just love certain inventions because God gives all inventions. But my brother, there are some devilish inventions. Did you know that? There are some wicked inventions. Did you know that? Did you know that television is a number one invention that the devil uses? Did you know that the devil has used TV to corrupt and to tear down and to wreck the church? With that, he's done worse than anything else I know of. Did you know that there is a lot of things that the devil's got his hands on? Some things that can be used for God and redeemed. Some things are just evil inventions that are made just for the purpose of evil. The devil made them just to corrupt the world with. There's a whole lot of things that is just dedicated to the devil. I'm going to say this, and I've said it the other night, and I'll probably get a repercussion from it, but God help me, sports are of the devil. Ball games, the football, volleyball, basketball, baseball, all of those games are of the devil. The devil instigated them. The devil started them. The devil's behind them. God's against them. The man that puts them in the church and recruits his people to those kind of things are of the devil. Any minister that will recruit his people to a basketball game or a baseball game is of the devil. You can tell him I said so. God ain't never called a preacher to do that. Any person that says that they are a Christian that will sit with their gullible appetite of the devil and watch the series, the baseball series and all of these other things, they've got a nature of the devil and they've got the hunger of the devil. And the love of this world and the love of God's not in them. The Bible said if the love of this world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. And brother, I want you to know that sports is of the world and it's not of God. There ain't going to be no baseball games in heaven. No football games in heaven. No volleyball games in heaven. No playing of the pinball machines in heaven. Now listen. It's a time now in our lives when we need to put difference between darkness and between light. The carnal mind is enmity to God. If you are carnally minded, you are leaning to your own understanding. And all of these things come from your own understanding because Satan savors the love of the things that be of the flesh. But But you should be heavenly minded, godly minded, spiritually minded, having your mind on God. And let God speak unto you as unto spiritual, pulling away from the world. Beloved friend, are we going to do like Esau and sell our birthright for a morsel of bread? Are we going to be in bondage again to the beggarly elements of this world after that God has delivered us by the blood of his own son? Are we going to count the blood of Jesus an unholy thing? Now listen. I tell this every once in a while. I had a vision not too long ago. In this vision, I was walking along the sidewalk, and I heard a great commotion, and it sounded like a revival. And I thought, this is a revival. I'll hurry on over, and I'll go to this revival. And I hurried on over to where the crowd was, and sure enough, there was a crowd, and there was a great commotion. And people were saying, praise the Lord. And people was praying. And I said, my God, what a revival. Here I am right in the midst of it. And all of a sudden I looked, and brother, sister, believe it or not, they were having a ball game. And they were praying for their favorite team. I said, my God. And I turned around. I thought, Lord God, the blood of Jesus. And they're trampling under their feet to pray for a ball game. And I turned around to walk off. And when I did, I was walking down the sidewalk again. And all of a sudden, it was like a great entombment. And the door opened up, and inside of this entombment I went. And the door was shut, and I could not find my way out of it. And I said, my God, what happened to me? I'm in an enclosure. There's no windows. There's no door. There's no way of escape. And I stood there horrified. And I looked, and here come like it was the woman walking like this with her baby in her arm. And I looked, and here come a man walking just like a zombie. Lifeless, no joy, no direction of life. And I looked in one after another, and I stepped aside, and I looked at him, and I said, my God, what is this? What is this? These people are dead. These are zombies just walking along. God said to me, he said, these are those that's at the ball games and that's praying in my name. It's abomination in my sight. I said, my God, let me out of here. And all of a sudden the door opened again that I come through. There was a door on the side, and I come out of that place, and it shut up and left them in that entombment. And I began to praise God when I got out in the life and in the sunlight. And I saw the flowers, and I got a song now. They sing it sometime. They'll probably sing it under the tent. As I come out of there, the Holy Spirit in that vision gave me a song. And I begin to say, I thank you for the sunshine, and I thank you for the flowers. And oh God, I went on saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They'll probably sing it here one night. And my life was filled with excitement. And I didn't care in the vision who heard me. I was screaming to the top of my voice, praising God because I had escaped that entombment. Oh, my brother, don't go among the dead. Jesus Christ is not among the dead. Those people are dead. They're Christ dead and plucked up by the roots. Anybody that could pray for a ball game has got to be dead. Down in our own neighborhood, there near Atlanta, Georgia, the man that's over the Indian Braves. The Braves become the outstanding team this year. And the man that's over the Braves made the statement he'd be willing to give maybe half of his life or something if his Indian Braves could just win that ball game. Brother, they won it. But I wonder today how he feels when he thinks about what he said about giving his life over some foolish nothing. Brother, there's important things to do like evangelizing the world. There are souls that's dying and lost and undone without God. There's people that's starving to death and millions of dollars being spent on sports and shooting at the moon. All of this shooting at the moon is just as crazy and just as reckless. God said, multiply, replenish the earth. He didn't say nothing about the moon. He said, though thou makest thy nest among the stars from thence, I shall cast thee down to hell. I noticed when they got up to heaven, they set that little thing on the moon and they called it a nest. It's among the stars. But oh, beloved friend, hear me tonight. I love you. That's why I tell you the truth. And the Bible said God made them haters of God. They were despiteful. He said they were proud. What a proud, arrogant world this is tonight. How proud and how haughty men are tonight. And the Bible said pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. I told somebody not too long ago, I said, "Now you mark what I'm telling you." I said, "Beloved friends, we are in the end of the world." I said, "All of the signs show it." I said, "You know what's going to happen?" I said, "America's going to rise up against Israel." I said, "Now just mark what I'm telling you." I said, "America has never done it before, and God's always spared America because she has not." And the Bible said, "He that touches Jacob touches the apple of my eye." And the Bible said, "If you want to prosper, pray for Israel. If you've never prospered, you just try praying for Israel and see if it don't work." I said, "But America is going to rise up, and they're going to rise up against Israel." Did you know that the papers, I believe it was yesterday or just recently? Maybe you saw them. I haven't seen the headline. Somebody just related it to me. But did you know they said 14 nations rose up against Israel? And that America was one of them that lifted her finger up against Israel? That's the end of the days of the Gentiles. When America lifted her hand up against Israel, God's hand went out against America. You say, "Brother Pike, don't you think Israel is an aggressor?" It doesn't matter whether she's an aggressor or whatever she is. I'm telling you what the Bible said. In the book of Luke, it says, "When you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh, and that the fulfillment of all of the wrath of God and the things concerning the tribulation period and the desolation is upon the world." Now, I believe that Israel has been found in an aggression. This is my opinion. I believe that she has been found in an aggression. I believe it was an aggression for her to do what she done. I believe that, and I believe the 14 nations are right in standing up calling it aggression. But I also believe this, that nation threatened Israel and told Israel, said, "When we get this plant done, fixed, finished, we're going to blow you off of the map." And Israel, being a little bitty nation, knew they could not fight, and they waited for occasion, and they went in there and blew the thing up. Because of the threat, why didn't the nations rise up against that nation that threatened Israel? If some big old boisterous fellow weighing 285 pounds come out here and grabbed a little boy over here about 14 years old, snatched him up by the arm and said, "Just wait till I catch your dad not looking and I'm going to knock your head off." If that little boy can get around at the right time and get to his back and give him a good case of whatever he needs, you can't call it aggression. He's doing everything he can to defend himself. That's why Israel made the statement that these American planes that was given us for to protect us and to use for our protection, and we used them for our protection. That we did not violate the laws of America in that we used them for aggression. You love Jesus? And the Bible says in that last hour, they would become inventors of evil things. And listen, folks, they will become disobedient to parents. Have you ever seen a day when children are as evil and as wretched as the day that we're living in? You teenagers, some of you sitting out there, you as wretched as you can be. You talk to your parents like they were some kind of dogs. And you know what's wrong with you? Your parents eat sour grapes and your teeth are on edge, as the Bible said. Your dad wanted to be a baseball player and the old time church wouldn't allow it, so he never did get it out of his heart, and when he reproduced junior, he stuck junior in a ball game. Their teeth was on edges to start with. And the Bible said they've sold their children as a harlot and for a glass of wine, just to have prestige and social parties. Killed them out, folks. Some of the teenagers are so mean. You buy them cars to ride all through the night and to prowl all through the night, all over the place. You can't get near a little old store at night. But what they're honking the horn and spinning the wheels and cursing and snorting. If the police had any sense at all, and the daddies and mothers had any sense at all, they'd all form a team and they'd go down there and they'd get Junior and they'd take their belt off the sissy and they'd lay the leather on their hide and they'd send them home and they'd be a good generation. You might say, but you're getting unholy. When Jesus walked into that temple, he took that whip and he popped that whip in that temple and he turned over the money tables and he said, you've made my Father's house a den of thieves. You tell me God's going to get upset because you take that bunch of wretched children out there and straighten them out? I tell you, he's upset if you don't straighten them out. That's what's wrong with the world today. Children are doing nothing. You send them to college and you pump it into their minds. Go to college, honey. Go to college, sonny. You go get you an education so you don't have to work. Daddy's had to work, but don't you do that. You be smart, and sure enough, Junior spends about 8 or 10 years in college and he gets a shiftless and lazy till he's no good, and sissy gets rotten that she ain't even fit to be a man's wife. And then when they come out of college, they feel insulted if you offer them a job because daddy taught them all their life they're not supposed to work because they got an education. And they think they're supposed to rule over somebody else that don't have any education and make a slave out of them. And sometimes the man that's working under them's got more common sense than all of their education. You love Jesus? I tell you one thing. The patriarchs of old, beloved friend, had enough sense that they built us a society, a good one. And they didn't have no education. They trusted in God and learned what they could from practical experience. Studied when they had a chance. But the generation of today that's supposed to be the great intelligence is wrecking everything we got from morals to I don't know what. And they've got the countries in a turmoil to where each one of them's afraid of the other, that they're going to blow them up overnight. That's what education has done for you in the tree of knowledge. That's what money and fame and popularity has done for you. What we need is God and some good common sense. That's what we need. And we need some men back over yonder in the White House or in the places of leadership like Washington and Lincoln. Men that used their Bible for a textbook and learned what it was all about. Did you know way back in 1752 when the Liberty Bell come over here from over in England? Did you know that it had on that Liberty Bell, proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and unto all of the inhabitants thereof. That was from the Bible. That was on the Liberty Bell. That's what they put on the Liberty Bell. That's what they had to establish this nation with. Why, it's an insult to God now. That atheist woman has done everything she could to get prayer out of school, and some of you have not had a backbone enough to even stand up and protest it. Hollering freedom of religion, you let the devil in. Not too long ago, one of the great leaders back over around Brussels made the statement there concerning the mark of the beast. He made the statement, he said that the world today was ready for a great Superman and a great leader, that they did not care where was the devil or whoever he was, as long as he could handle the situation. Brother, I want you to know I care tonight. The devil may have gold and he may have silver and he may have sports and he may have education and he may have everything in this world and he may have the world in his hand, but I don't want none of the devil nor of his people. You love Jesus? Praise God. And I tell you what, you ain't going to find one of his subjects in heaven. Did you know that? There not going to be one subject that belongs to the devil in heaven. Everybody that loves the things of this world, you might as well to attach yourself to them and get a hold of them and go on with them, because there ain't going to be none of your entertainment in heaven, and there ain't going to be nothing up there that you like, and there ain't going to be nothing up there that you desire. There won't be nothing up there that you'll like at all. You might as well forget about going. But you people that love God and love righteousness and love the things of God and the ways of God and those things that God promised to have in heaven, you come on and you get in this great glorious move of God and let's go on to meet Jesus. I'm going to close here in just a minute. The Bible said that these people would be without understanding. They would be covenant breakers. They would be without natural affection. They would be implacable. They would be unmerciful. Though they know the judgments of God, the Bible said they still would be this way. Did you know that you can have all the education in the world and still be without understanding? Did you know that God said, Solomon, you get wisdom, but with it get a little understanding? You can get all the wisdom of the world and all the education of the world and not have enough understanding to go to town back by yourself. You love Jesus? The Bible said these people would be without understanding and that they would not even see when good cometh because their eyes would be blinded by the evil powers of this world. For the God of this world would blind their eyes that they could not see. So then tonight, are you without understanding? Are you looking at the covenant breakers? They can't make a covenant with a nation anymore. I'm going to say this in close. 1776, a few men got together. They wrote a Declaration of Independence. On July the 4th, it was signed. Men like Benjamin Franklin and Hancock and Adams got together and turned this thing over to Thomason Jefferson to where he could write that thing up, and they gave it to 56 men to sign. Those men put their signature on it. They laid their lives before God. They took all of their power and they took all of their wealth and they took all of their prestige and they rebelled against England and they set us up a country over here for freedom of worship. Those men, every one of them was killed. They were eventually killed or lost their lives because of their signature on it. But all of their wealth they put together to have a nation, to have freedom of independence and to have a place of worship. Tonight we are not worthy of those men. Tonight we are gullible and greedy and we won't give a dime to uphold anything that they have established, nor we don't do anything to keep freedom of democracy or our righteousness or anything else in the world today. And on their liberty bell they said, proclaim the liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof, that God hath made us free. Today, these gullible people in America, they don't even know what the liberties of God is. And it's for sure they're not going to keep the liberty of a nation, because it's just one big cesspool of iniquity, of fighting, frustration, and the most of them ain't got the courage to go overseas and put a gun on their shoulder. Come on, folks. I said there's one time when Americans could spill the blood because they had courage from God. And they become a bunch of cowards that can't even lift up a gun and throw it on their shoulder because they're afraid they'll be killed and go to hell because they don't have God behind them. That's why Israel's going to defeat the world. Israel's got God to that extent, and they've got courage, and they're going to stand up because they believe that God's with them. And the same thing that America done when she had God with her, Israel is going to do. America stood up when God was with her, and she defeated the world. And God said, I'll make you the head, not the tail. And now she's rejected God and she'll do everything that's ungodly, and she's lost her courage. And now Israel is taking on that courage because they're turning to God and they're rising up and they're going to rule the world. Brother, that takes courage, and you better believe it. America used to have the greatest, most courageous men that ever walked the earth. Even Tennessee is called the volunteer state, because men were so courageous in the era. But now look at this bunch of rock and rolls and beatniks, and I don't care, and gullible dope addicts that's ruined their nerves and their minds and everything else. Not only in Tennessee, but in the Carolinas and in Georgia and in Alabama and Mississippi and everywhere else. All because they don't love Jesus, because they would not have God, because they don't like to retain the truth in their knowledge, and God has given them over to a reprobate mind to do that which is not convenient. And the whole world is coming down upon them to make them pay for their wrongs. I want you to stand with me, folks.
Do you know, there was a time when women were so courageous. And this is a profound fact. This is not just a gesture. It is the truth. History tells us of a time when women were so courageous, those that had God, that when they told them they were going to die for Jesus, die at the stake or be burned at the stake, history says that those women were so courageous that when they came out with the finest apparel they had. And when they were asked the question, said, "What are you doing in such beautiful apparel, fixing to go to the stake?" They said, "This day we die for Jesus and we want to look our best." That's the kind of courage that women had. Now a lot of them are just nervous wrecks, tore up on dope in the mental institutions and the hospitals. Can't get themselves together, just one big bundle of nerves. Let's sing a little chorus together. "I love you and I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth." Paul said, "I tell you the truth. I become your enemy because I tell you the truth." But the Bible says that ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Because they did not like to retain the truth in their knowledge. I trust tonight that you want the truth in your knowledge. And that you believe in the truth and you'll take these things that Brother Pike has said here tonight. And that you'll go your way. And you'll put difference between darkness and light. And you'll think it over and you'll say, "Now God, either that man is one of the world's biggest liars, or either he must be telling the truth. And if I am a liar, then you need to come and talk with me and tell me that I'm a liar and that you have no respect for me because I am a liar, and you need to prove to me by the Bible that I am a liar. If you pity me and you say, 'Well, that person is not a liar, he's just plain ignorant, he thinks he's telling the truth,' and from your educational viewpoint of whatever, you pity me, then you come to me and you sit down and you talk with me, and by your philosophy or your education or whatever, we'll go to the Bible and we'll see if I'm to be pitied or if you're to be pitied." Say, "Well, Brother Pike, what you need to do is see a psychiatrist." It's like a little story I heard one time they said was true. A man went over to see a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist said, "I'll tell you what you need to do." He said, "Write down here." He said, "They're having a carnival." He said, "To get yourself together, to get a little joy and get straightened out," said, "you need to go down to that carnival. And when you get down there," said, "there's a clown there that can make you just laugh and laugh until you laugh your troubles away." The man that was talking to him said, "Sir, I am the clown that come from the carnival. I'm seeking your help." That's how much good a psychiatrist is. You don't need somebody with a brainstorm to tell you whether you got good sense or not. If you don't know whether you got good sense or not, it's for sure you don't have good sense. And some psychiatrist telling you that you've got good sense isn't going to help you to believe you got good sense. You should have enough sense not to have to go down there and mess with it. You know what's wrong, folks? There has to be an absolute in the world. And everybody's left the absolute. They don't know what to depend on, and they don't know what to believe, and they don't know what to understand. And the Bible said concerning education, they're ever learning and they never come to the truth. But Jesus said, "My words are truth. This is the knowledge of truth." If you'll take this for an absolute, you won't have to have anybody to tell you whether you're sane or not. You'll have enough faith to keep yourself sane. I admit that devils and demons in the world today are driving people crazy by the millions. But it's all because they don't like to retain the truth of God in their knowledge. They know they're contrary to God and they're contrary to God's word. And they won't put away those evil things that the devil's about to drive them out of their minds. We're living in an enlightened day when you know the word of God. And the Bible said, if you know to do good and won't do it to you, it's a sin, and the soul that sins shall surely die. That's what's going to bring the end. Now sum this up in your mind here with this closing remark. You know what's going to bring the end? If you didn't know and you was cold, God could send the minister to preach to you. There could be revival in the land because you wouldn't know, folks.
I would that you were cold so I could send you a revival and send somebody to tell you about Jesus. He said, or I would that you were hot to know about God and filled with the Spirit so I could bless you with a blessing, all heavenly blessings in heavenly places. But he said, because you're lukewarm, that is, you know the right way and you won't go it. You can't say you're cold because you know about Jesus. You know about Jesus. And you can't say you're hot because you're not doing what you know. Therefore, the Bible said, because of this, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Did you know that's what's going to bring the end of the world? A lot of folks say, well, I wonder what's going to bring the end of the world. That's what's going to bring the end of the world. He can't preach to them because they're not cold, so he has to leave off with that. He can't bless them because they know to do good and won't do it. He can't evangelize them if they already know about God, so that ends the revival. And he can't bless them because they know better and won't do it. Therefore, all he can do is continue on, and if he continues on, he condones their evil, and he's guilty of their wrong because he's allowing them to do it when they know better. Therefore, the only thing a just God can do is bring the end and stop the thing. And that's what he's going to do. He'd have to do it. A judge in this country would have to put a man in prison if he let him off and let him off and let him off, and the man just kept on doing wretched. After a while, the judge would be as guilty as he was if he kept turning that murderer loose to kill folks. God's got to do something about it. There ain't nothing else he can do. You done forced his hand. Let's sing this chorus. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me tonight? Oh, there's room. Did you know there's room at the cross for you tonight? Did you know that there's room at the cross for you tonight? Though many hundreds of thousands of people have come to God, did you know there's still room at the cross for you tonight? Did you know tonight, Christian friend, for you that are listening tonight, that you could be a great warrior for God? You could be a great power for God. And you could be a great person for God, and you can do something for God. God needs your service tonight. God wants you to help Him to reach souls tonight. And there's a great reward in the labor of souls. There is a great treasure, a great reward. God gives a great reward to them that will believe on the name of Jesus and them that will work for Him. And everyone that laboreth receiveth reward. And what a great reward it is. What a great reward it is, my friend. God desires your service. Soon this will be over. Soon the dispensation of grace will be gone. God cannot use you anymore. The days of evangelism will be at a close. And you won't have a chance to live a holy life. Lady, you won't have a chance to dress holy. The Bible said dress holy. You won't have a chance to dress holy, to be a light for God, to receive a reward. You won't have a chance to. A lot of you, when you were younger, had a chance to dress holy. But you wanted to show your form. And you let the devil use it all of your life to show your body off. That old bony, fleshly body that's going to rot in the dirt. And the devil used it, and he had his big time with it. And now you're getting close to the crossing, and they're going to put you in a hole, and the skin worms is going to eat that old flabby body of yours that you let the devil use so much to create lust with and to strengthen his kingdom with. And they'll put you in a hole. And some of you wait until you're so old that nobody wouldn't look at you if you was in a bathing suit. You couldn't stir anybody with lust. You're so old. And then you want to dress holy and you want to be a great light for God. Shame on you. The Bible said, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days draw not nigh,
when you look and say, I have no pleasure in them. I tell you this, if you're old, you better call on Jesus. If you're old, you better get a hold of God. But if you've got any youth at all, you better lend your body and your life to God for service. Some of you men are the same way. You've got to be a ladies' man, and you've got to dress in such a way that the ladies is going to admire you. And you've got to put on your form-fitting zoot suits. And you've got to spin your wheels. And you can't be a real gentleman and a real man of God, because you can't stand it if the ladies don't drool over you. And then when you get too old to do anything, ready to be thrown in a hole, then you want to be God's man. But I'll tell you, you better start being God's man while you can be God's man. You better give him some of your youth while you can. You better get your mind off of money and prestige and businesses and the world and sports and games and everything else, and get your mind on God. You can't spend your life in the world with all of the frolics of the world and run into the last minute and Jesus save you. I don't believe in deathbed repentance. You say, Brother Pike, as long as I call on Jesus on my deathbed, I'll make it. Where do you read that in the Bible? The Bible said, it shall come to pass that whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Brother Pike. I know it does. And they said, Paul, repent of your sins. Be baptized calling upon the name of the Lord. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, calling upon the name of the Lord. Not everyone that's going to be saved. But he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Don't you know that anybody laying on their deathbed would be glad to call on God? They say, God, save me, I'm sorry. That doesn't mean that they're sorry. If they got off of that deathbed, they'd be the same wretch they was before. Very rare for them to change. Like the little story that said one man called another man to his deathbed. Said when this man came over to the deathbed, so this man said to him, sir, I'm dying. I've been a wretched person. I'm asking you to forgive me because I'm dying. And all the things that I had against you and all the things that I was going to do against you, I ask you to forgive me because I'm dying. And the man said, I forgive you. And then the man said, but be it known unto you one thing, if I get up from here and live, it remains the same. And that's just exactly the way it is. Deathbed don't mean nothing. It don't prove nothing. If they could get up from there, most likely it would be the same. All a man's got, he'll give for his life. But folks, while you're not dying, while you can live for God, while you can change your mind, while you can go one way or another, this is the time to prove what's in you. This is the time to prove your attitude. This is the time to prove what you are and prove what you'll forever be. You got a chance to do it now. So I'm inviting you to do it tonight. While they're playing on the organ, the instruments, I want you to come and gather around the altar with me tonight, will you? While you can forsake the world, while you can forsake the frolics of the world, while you can leave off with your business, while you can put Jesus first. You say, Brother Pike, you don't think I ought to have a business in the world? I'll tell you what, if you can have a business and have God at the root of it, and have an honest business and take God in as your partner, and put God first and seek God's kingdom first, there's nothing wrong with your business. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. But I'll tell you one thing, if your business is out yonder in the world of sports, and your business is out yonder in the land of frolic, and your business is out yonder producing sin or help carry out sin, you need to get out of your business, because you're in the devil's business, and God isn't going to bless any business like that. And if you get rich, it's not because God made you rich, it's because the devil made you rich. There's the wealth that comes from Satan, and there's the wealth that comes from God. You say, Brother Pike, what kind of wealth comes from Lucifer or Satan? The Bible said if you get riches deceitfully, he says that you will be cut off in the midst of your days, and in the end you will be a fool. That's the riches that come from Lucifer. What kind of riches then comes from God? The Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow. That's the blessing that comes from God. That's the riches that comes from God. I love you tonight, and I appreciate you tonight. And that's why I tell you the truth tonight. Because I want you to have the wonderful blessings of God and the wonderful things of Jesus. I want you to lift your hands with me, folks. I want you to lift your hands tonight. You are a creature of faith. You've got faith tonight. You've got the opportunity to believe tonight. This is your great golden opportunity, because grace is still in the world. But you believe, Brother Pike, tonight, the thing that happened over in Israel is the end of the world. The thing that Israel done will bring the end of the world. You mark my words. You say, well, Brother Pike, I'll just wait and see and take my chances. Did you know the very fact that you say in your heart that I'll wait and see and take my chances, it automatically proves that you are one of the predestinated and the doomed to go into the lake of fire. Because under the anointing of God and in the house of God, and when God is calling in the Bible, said it's not the minister that speaks, but God that speaketh unto you. Let the whole world keep silent, for God is in his temple. And the Bible teaches that we are the temple of God. And the very fact that you would even think like that, beloved friend, proves that you don't have God and that you are in a dangerous place. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'll come to the altar when I get ready. No, you won't. You can't come. Somebody would say, I can do what I want to. No, you can't do it. You can't do it. You know why you can't do it? Your thinking talks you out of it, and that is a devil. The devil savors the things that be of the flesh, and he's got you in bondage so that he talks you out of it in your mind, and he tells you that you've got full control and you can go when you want to. But it's a true fact that you do want to down in your heart, and you do want to live for God down in your heart, but you can't come because you're bound with that kind of thinking. Let's just lift our hands up and love Jesus tonight. Let's just lift our hands up and love Jesus tonight. If you love Jesus tonight, let's lift our hands up together. Or come on to this altar tonight. You know, there's something about the minister you need to know, folks. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I that minister. Or so send I you. It said, whosoever sins that minister remits shall be remitted. And it says, whosoever sins that minister retains shall be retained. And it says, whatever that minister binds on earth shall be bound in heaven. And he said, whatever that minister looses on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You have need tonight to find favor with God and to believe in the word of God and to believe in the minister. He hath the power to remit your sins by faith tonight. He hath the power to bind your sins to you according to your unbelief tonight. So tonight, whoever he blesses will be blessed, and whoever he curses shall be cursed. If that minister blesses you, if he's a real man to God, you can be sure you're going to be blessed. And if that minister curses you, you can be sure you're going to be cursed. When Peter said, thou hast lied to the Holy Ghost, they fell down dead, and they were straightway taken out. They fell down dead, and they were straightway taken out. Isn't that right? But them that Peter blessed was blessed, and them that Peter cursed was cursed. Them that Paul blessed was blessed, and them that Paul cursed was cursed. Lift your hands up, will you? Let's pray tonight. Let's worship Jesus. Let's love our Savior tonight. God bless you for coming to this altar. God bless you for lifting your hands, you that did not come to the altar. God bless you for your reverence. God bless you for acknowledging Jesus and having the fear of God. God bless you. God bless you tonight. Let's lift our hands up. The Bible said, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands, hands that God has made holy. Holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Don't have any wrath tonight in your heart. Don't have any wrath in your heart tonight. Don't have anything against anybody tonight. It doesn't matter how bad it's been back yonder. Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. For Christ's sake, turn around and go the right way. Forget those things yesterday. The Bible said, forgetting those things that are behind. Let's forget them things that are behind. You can't do nothing about them, no way. Brother Charles, there's nothing to be done about that. Let's forget about all of that, folks. And let's look in the other direction tonight. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the great Holy Spirit as he's falling on the audience. The Bible said, as Peter preached to the people, the Holy Ghost fell upon him. And I feel the Holy Ghost falling on you right now. I feel the Holy Ghost falling on you right now. Let's lift our hands up and love God. Surely you feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Surely you feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight.
My brother, surely you feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Let's just lift our hands up and our hearts up tonight. And let's love Jesus. Can you do it tonight? Jesus. Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. God, you see these people coming to the altar. You see these people back yonder lifting up their hands. May this great spirit tonight, Father, go out over the audience. May it go out through Memphis, through Tennessee, through Mississippi. May the spirit tonight move over this land and country. May the power of God awake people in the midnight. May they not be able to sleep on their beds at night. May they be awakened, Father, to the call of the gospel. And may they be troubled in their sleep. And may every person be moved tonight unto that great, wonderful God of heaven that sits yonder upon the throne of heaven, is acknowledged, and his great presence, your great deity, my heavenly Father, my precious Father, until your spirit covers the land like the dew, drops of heaven. Oh, Jesus, tonight heal these people. Forgive these people. Deliver these people. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus, Have Faith in God. And we're going to lay hands on some of you tonight. We laid hands on some of you last night. It was the first night of the meeting that we've done that. We're going to lay hands on some of you tonight. If you have a need, if you're desperate tonight, we're going to lay hands on some of you tonight. And tomorrow night, if the Lord be willing. And I want you to believe as we pray with you. Let's sing this song now, can we? Have faith in God. Can you sing it with me now? Oh, have faith in God. Oh, let's have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Sing it one more time now. Oh, have faith in God. Sing it with me. Oh, let's have faith in God for salvation. Oh, have faith in God. While they're playing on the instruments, if you want to be prayed for, just step up here like you did last night. We'll lay hands on you tonight. And I feel like God will do something for you. The Bible said in one place, neglect not the gift that is within thee by the laying on the hands of the presbyteria. A lot of times a young minister or a young person or some middle-aged person or even an elderly person will come forth and have hands laid upon them. And a lot of times the gift is imputed unto them or a blessing from God. And sometimes they're blessed with some spiritual gift or sometimes there's something that's imparted unto them to where they will become great and become mighty in the sight of God. And maybe God will give them millions of dollars that they can help evangelize this great world with. So tonight, whatever it might be, God has something for you tonight. He has something for you tonight. I want my minister brethren to come over. Will you come over, fellas? And let's pray together tonight. God is doing something special tonight. I want you to pray with me. I want Herman to come back up here. Where's Herman? I want him to come back up here and pray with me.
Singing, have faith in God.
All right. Let's pray tonight. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Arthur, come around here and pray with us, Brother Arthur. Hallelujah. Let's believe God tonight. We're going to start right here with this brother. Lift up your hands, Brother Jesse. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, I feel your anointing. I feel that great, wonderful deliverance here tonight. Oh, Ramanda Ramashai, I feel the Holy Ghost. Father, deliver, heal. Oh, Ramanda Ramashira Varianda Ramosayah. I feel your spirit, Father. I feel your anointing. I feel faith coming from this heart tonight. Oh, hallelujah. I feel that, my brother. Father, touch this little lad tonight. Heal his body in Jesus' name. Father, bless him in Jesus' name tonight. Touch this vessel tonight. May the great Spirit of God come down. Father, I call upon you tonight. Lord, I'm under Riandaramo, Shiraba Riandaramasaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, as I pray for this sister, may your spirit come down tonight. May she be healed. May I pray, God, in faith tonight for these people. Bless this little one tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless my sister tonight. Break every yoke. I look away to heaven tonight. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Touch this brother tonight. In the name of the Son of God tonight. May your spirit be upon Chris tonight. In Jesus' name. Touch this sister tonight. In the name of the Lord, may your spirit be upon her tonight. May every yoke be broken. Father, hear from heaven. Oh God, hear from heaven and touch her, Jesus. Father, break this yoke from off of this sister. Oh, hallelujah. Let her feel the revival of her soul again. Satan, I adjure thee by God. Take your hands off of this sister. May she walk that straight, narrow path again. May she be filled with the Holy Ghost again. And may the blessings of God tonight take her down that straight, narrow trail again. Heal and save and forgive. God, touch Joe tonight. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon Joe tonight. And the blessing of the Lord be here. Father, to anoint Joe. Hallelujah. 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 Father, bless my brother tonight in the name of the Son of God. May the power of God rest upon my brother. May he be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. May the Holy Ghost. Father, touch this vessel tonight in the name of the Son of God. Heal tonight, deliver tonight, save tonight. May thy great spirit, the power of the Lord, be upon the sister. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I feel your presence, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel your presence, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. In the name of the Son of God tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I can feel your presence tonight. Heal and forgive and save in Jesus' name. Father, touch the sister in the name of Jesus tonight. May thy spirit be upon the sister. May the blessings of God be with her. Lord, to heal, to forgive in the name of Jesus. Help these people to find your will. God, this sister is desperately searching and looking for your will. Father, she's searching in her heart. Hear from heaven. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight. Touch this little sister in Jesus' name. Touch this person in Jesus' name tonight. May thy spirit be upon her. Lord, thou that knowest the heart of all mankind. Oh, God, bless this sister tonight. Break every yoke, Father. touch my brother tonight. May the fullness of God, may the filling of God, may the blessings of God be in this heart tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Touch this little one tonight. Touch this person in the name of Jesus tonight. May thy spirit be upon him. Touch this sister tonight. God, is she reaching out for you tonight? Needing your touch, needing your strength. No ramandramasida bariandramoshandramastaya. Oh ramandramasida bariandramosaya. Yea, and I say unto thee that thou shalt behold many things. Yea, and thou shalt not understand. Yea, and thou shalt mourn many times. And thou shalt desire to know, but shalt not understand. But the Lord thy God, he seeth thee, and he shall not allow thee to be confused. Yea, if thou shalt believe, the Lord shall lead thee. For the love of God shall constrain thee, and thou shalt walk in his ways. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, bless this vessel, wonderful God. Lord, help this person tonight. Give strength tonight. Lord, she desires strength tonight. Give her strength. Help her, Father, forgetting those things that are behind. Help her to press forward to that prize and that mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Lord, break every yoke. In the name of the Son of God tonight, in the name of the Son of God, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee tonight. The Lord rebuke thee tonight. The Lord rebuke thee tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, hallelujah. Father, touch this little sister in Jesus' name. May her spirit be upon her. May your blessing be upon her. Touch these little ones in Jesus' name as I lay hands on them tonight. Bless this sister tonight. Oh, God of heaven, help this sister to understand. For Father, I can see into her heart. And oh God, she's desiring to know the will of God. Lord, and many things have confused her. Oh Lord, she's been greatly confused over some things, Father. Lord, even to the extent, Father, that it has seemed to become a personal desire and a personal ambition that has held her back from the things of God. But oh Father, if she could find the true way, if she could find the right way, if it would be revealed to her that she should know, she would walk with you, she would honor you, she would obey you, and Father, she would go with you. Yea, and she would give her all unto you. Lord, if thou canst let her know, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, bless these little ones tonight as I lay hands upon them. Father, bless them. In Jesus' name tonight, bless my sister. May the Spirit of God be upon her tonight. Oh Lord, let her heart be warm with the welcome of your Spirit, and let her body be flooded with the great presence of the Almighty God tonight. Bless my brother tonight. Oh dear, wonderful God. Father, I pray that you'd bless this brother tonight. For Lord God of heaven, I perceive there is a longing in his heart. Yea, even a longing for the ministry, Father, and to do something for you. To go the way of the Lord, to fulfill a calling and a desire. But oh God, there is things that are of hurt. There's things, Father, that fell across this path. Oh God, that makes this person to wonder. But Father, slow and aggressive. Yea, if thou shalt walk very carefully. Yea, if thou shalt hold on to the hands of God. Yea, if thou shalt believe in the word of the Son of God. And lift up thy faith. Yea, lift up thy faith. Yea, I say unto thee, lift up thy faith. For Satan has desired to cause thee not to believe in the real truth of the living God. But I say unto thee tonight, if thou canst use thy faith, if you can break the yoke, if you can push past this thing that is binding your faith. I, the Lord, shall lead thee, and I, the Lord, shall help thee. For I say unto thee that thine unbelief cannot make the faith of God of none effect. For the faith of God shall continue, yea, even if thou dost not walk with him. But I desire thee tonight. I desire to help thee tonight. I desire to strengthen thee tonight. If thou canst believe, yea, and I say unto thee that thou shouldest pray. Thou shouldest pray unto God. Thou shouldest fast. Thou shouldest seek the face of God. And then thou shalt be freed from this bondage that has held thy faith in captivity. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up? Can you lift your hands up? Do you love Jesus tonight? Father, touch this brother tonight. In the name of Jesus tonight. Touch this brother and bless this brother. Let the mighty anointing be upon Brother Conrad tonight. Oh God, that he can feel the mighty quickening of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, that leadeth in the pathways of righteousness. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight. Father, bless this little one tonight in the wonderful name of the Son of God. And Father, bless this vessel tonight. May thy spirit be upon this vessel. Oh God, for I perceive that there is a sincerity in this person. Yea, Lord, a sincerity that thou desires to relate to. A sincerity that thou desires to use. Oh God, in a vessel that can be made unto honor. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Lift up his faith and encourage him in the wonderful name of the Son of God. Father, touch this little one tonight. Touch him in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon him. In Jesus' precious, wonderful name tonight. Hallelujah. Touch this little bitty one tonight, Jesus, in your name. And touch my brother tonight in the name of the Son of God. Lord, he's listened night after night. Father, he's heeded night after night. And though Satan has tried his best, Father, to veer him away and turn him away from the truth, yet, Father, he's determined to hear. He's determined to know. He's determined to understand. May the mighty blessings of God rest upon him tonight. Lead him and guide him in Jesus' name. Father, touch this little one and touch Brother Jerry tonight. May the blessings of God be upon Brother Jerry. May the Spirit of the Lord be with him. Lord, you've seen how he's befriended the people in this revival. Bless him. Return it 100-fold in his life in Jesus' name. Touch Billy tonight. May the good, wonderful blessings of God be upon him in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Bless Bill tonight. May the power of God rest upon Bill. Do something special for him in the wonderful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, bless my brother tonight. In the name of Jesus. May the mighty power of God rest upon him. May that great Spirit of God tonight quicken him and move him as you move Samson, Father, with that mighty power of the Lord. Father, bless Brother Arthur tonight. May the Spirit of God rest upon him. May he be touched tonight and his strength return unto him. Father, bless my brother tonight. Dear God, he's searching diligently. Yea, he's looking. Father, he wants to follow you. Oh, disappointment, disappointment, oh, disappointment. But, oh, God, beyond the veil of disappointment, there is the power of God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father, you're going to take the scales from his eyes. You're going to move the veil of darkness and the shadows. Yea, and the pathway of light is just up ahead. And the sun is breaking through for this brother. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Father, bless my sister tonight in the name of the Son of God. May the Spirit of God rest upon her tonight. May this great, wonderful anointing of God that comes down from heaven heal my sister, deliver my sister, bless my sister tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Let her faith be encouraged. Let her faith be lifted up. Father, break this yoke.
Help her to walk with you. Help her to walk with you. Help her to walk with you. No, Ramandriandaramoshidabariandarabosai. If thou canst believe, sister, all things are possible to them that believe. Yea, and I say unto thee tonight, if thou canst believe, yea, the Lord shall come into thy life and bless thee. There is nothing that is between us but unbelief. If thou canst break this yoke of unbelief, I, the Lord, shall bless thee. Yea, and thou shalt rejoice, and thou shalt have the joy of salvation that thou art alone is for. And oh God, in the name of Jesus tonight, bless my sister. Strengthen my sister tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that thy blessings be upon her. And though there might be trouble, there might be problems, yet move every hindrance, move every problem. Give her faith in Jesus' name and restore unto her the joy of Christian living in Jesus' name. Bless my brother tonight in the name of Jesus. May the great Spirit of God rest upon him tonight. May thy blessings be upon him tonight. Oh God, help him, Lord, as he came forth a few days ago, Lord, saying that he believed that men ought to serve you and that they ought to honor you and they should come together even for this revival. May he be blessed for that, Father. May he be blessed for that outlook. And God, look down in his heart and strengthen him and give him that wonderful refreshing in God. Father, bless my brother tonight in the name of Jesus. May the Spirit of God be upon him tonight. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Come down in your great and mighty power tonight and let him feel your anointing tonight, Jesus. May every yoke be broken. May he have the desires of his heart. No, God, as I look out yonder, seeing those things that are ahead, I pray that you'd bless my brother. Strengthen him for that which is ahead, my Father. Come upon him with your mighty Spirit, O God, and help him and purge him and guide him and fill him with the wonderful Holy Ghost. Touch this little sister tonight in the name of the Son of God. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon her. Dear God, encourage her faith tonight. Oh God, help us not to say that we are a dry tree. For oh God, thou canst make us full of the Holy Ghost. Yea, and a light and a blessing, Father, even unto the end of the earth. I ask you to bless my sister tonight, Father, for she desireth to walk with thee. Oh God, she desireth the blessings of the Lord in her heart. And she desireth to unite, Lord, in strength with that which walks by her side and the one that walks by her side, that they may be alive even unto the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Bless this, my sister. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight, forgive her of every wrong and encourage her tonight, Father, for she loves thee, O God, and she wants to follow thee. Make things so enticing in heaven, Father, and so beautiful in the things of God that she'll never desire the things of the world again. But, Father, her heart will be in heaven. Fill her with the Holy Ghost in the wonderful name of the Son of God. Bless my sister tonight in the name of Jesus. May she be filled with that lovely Holy Ghost tonight. May every yoke be broken. May she be a blessing. May she be filled with the great Spirit of God. Father, walk with her, God, as you did Mary Magdalene, O God. Lord, out of whom you cast seven devils, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd fill this woman. Bless this woman, anoint this woman. Let this woman be a witness. Let her be a testimony. Let the great Spirit of your Son, Father, even the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name come upon her. Touch this little sister tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, may thy blessings be upon this little sister. May she be encouraged. God, let her have that vision she wants. Lord, she wants a vision. Lord, let her do something for you in Jesus' name tonight. Touch this little bitty sister tonight that's got her little hands up, Father, and fill her heart with the sweetness of God. Touch this sister tonight. Help this sister to see, oh God, that those things that are heaven are so much more beautiful than the things of this earth. Oh God, help this little brother to be blessed tonight as I lay hands upon him, fill him with thy Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hand up and praise God tonight? The Bible said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that Christ is in you tonight? Hallelujah.